Welcome to the Business Leadership Series, where we engage with leaders who are making an impact on their worlds and who want to share their knowledge and experience for your personal and professional growth. The following interview is designed to inspire you to become the best leader you can be. Your host, Derek Champagne, is the founder and CEO of The Artist Evolution, a full-service agency building successful brands, marketing tools, and campaigns, and also the author of the best-selling book, Don't Buy a Duck. And now, let's begin today's Leadership Series interview.
Welcome to the Business Leadership Series, where our goal is to inspire you to become the best leader that you can be. I'm excited about our guest today. I had the opportunity to see him at the Scale Up Summit in Atlanta a few weeks ago and was just blown away by so many things. Eric Partaker is with us. He is, let me share his story, CEO of the Year, 2019, top 30 entrepreneurs in the UK, Britain's 27 most disruptive entrepreneurs by The Telegraph. He's appeared as a guest judge on The Apprentice. And over the last 20 years has advised Fortune 50 CEOs with a previous consulting firm, helped build Skype to a multi-billion dollar success story, co-founded Chilango, which is a really cool story where he's also co-CEO. Chilango has been described by Elite Business Magazine as arguably the most exciting fast food company of the decade. And he is also the most successful crowdfunded restaurant chain in the world. Eric, thanks for coming with us for a few minutes today.
Thank you so much, Derek. And I mean, wow, what an intro. And I think I'm going to have to, especially after that, take things all the way back down, because things certainly, they may have ended up in the light in which you've described, but they certainly didn't start there. So, well, okay, let me just kick off with the following. So in November of 2010, I was at the airport on my way back to London, and it's about 10 years ago. So I was about 35 years old, and I was on the phone with my doctor. I had been having some complications prior to that day, and the last thing my doctor told me was, "Eric, don't get on that plane." And I hung up the phone. My friend and colleague was eagerly sitting next to me and asked, well, what did he say? And I said, he said, don't worry about anything. Everything's fine. We can get on the plane. And so I got on the plane. Plane reached cruising altitude, and things started to go really wrong really quickly. And this is, 737, passenger plane. And I started to sweat quite badly. My entire left arm went completely numb and was so cold that my friend and colleague would later say, when I touched your arm, it was as if it wasn't part of your body. It was as if it had been in an ice box for a week. And I was sweating quite a lot, and I felt a huge amount of pressure in my chest as if somebody was sitting on top of me. And I said to my friend, I said, I need help. Something's not right. And he jumped over me, ran to a stewardess. Stewardess rushed over. She immediately asked if there was a doctor on board. And thankfully for me, there was. Doctor came racing up, took my vital signs, and immediately said to her, "We need to land the plane ASAP. Wow. I think he's having a heart attack." And the last I heard was the pilot kind of echoing that request and requesting an emergency landing. And us landing then in somewhere in France, and that's how my high kind of performance journey took a massive turning point. I'll come back at the end of our talk about how that story ended. Obviously, I am not miraculously speaking from my grave. That would be amazing for the show. We'd get lots of. lots of attention for that. Angelic in nature. No. So obviously that's not the case. But suffice it to say, so I've been obsessed with the whole idea of reaching your fullest potential in life ever since I was a kid. It's just always been an obsession. My biggest concern growing up, my biggest fear was that I would somehow squander my opportunity in life, that I wouldn't reach that full potential. Yeah. And for the last 20 years, it's been an obsession. And for the first half of those 20 years, the obsession was unhealthy. Hmm. And what I mean by that is the whole hustle, you know, regime that we're constantly hearing about today.
Right.
The work hard, the play hard. You know, I was doing all of that. I worked, I remember working once 70 some hours straight. I would pride myself on just the ability to work, you know, long, hard hours at all costs, no matter what it did to my health or those around me. Hmm. And I, you know, I almost paid the price, right? So right. I almost, you know, died from a heart attack. And following that, and some of the seeds, I guess, of that were my first job out of school. I studied finance in school. My very first job was with McKinsey and Company. Yeah. So you know, a wonderful organization where I learned quite a lot. But they have quite insane, you know, working weeks. And if you take a high performance obsessive person and you combine it with that environment, it's sort of like gasoline, you know, right. Fire. So I did that. That's kind of where the seeds of high performance, I guess, were first kind of nurtured. And they kind of grew with Skype. So I joined Skype and helped build that up to its multi-billion-dollar exit. And that again was a very, you know, intense environment that I even made even more intense than it needed to be.
That's another lesson right there, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. and the whole way I'm ignoring, here's an interesting fact that I read recently. And this is from the High Performance Institute. So when measuring the energy requirement / expenditure of a high performing CEO, do you know what it equates to? The same amount of energy requirement or expenditure of a top performing professional athlete.
Wow.
So if we hold that in mind, and then I then present to you the following. You're a star professional athlete. Now I'm going to come up to you. You just had a glorious season. You're doing all the things right. You're getting your sleep right. Your diet, nutrition's right. You've got a whole team of people supporting you, you know, in the spirit of marginal gains. They maximized you. Mm-hmm. But now I say to you, I have a great idea. Next season, we're going to change up your routine. What you say? What are we going to change? Well, from now on, instead of getting your 8 to 9 hours of sleep, we're going to go with 4, 5 to 6. Mm-hmm. Let's call 5 on average, because I want you to hustle when you're out there on the field.
Yeah.
And all that nice food you're eating, that's great. But let's start putting in a few double cheeseburgers throughout the day. And let's, you know, supersize some of your drinks and remove those protein shakes and get rid of these vitamins. And when you're at home, I know your family can be super supportive. But when you get home, I still want you to practice your athletics. So I actually want you to still bounce that basketball up and down through the corridors of your house. I don't want you to stop working, basically, and then get your 5 hours of sleep. Now, what do you think would happen to your season the following year?
Wow. Great analogy.
So you get the point. If you believe that the requirement and expenditure for a top-performing leader is equivalent to that of a professional athlete, then it's actually quite suicidal for our careers, our health, and for those that we love to do anything other than the same that a professional athlete does to maximize their performance in their game. Hmm. So that's the segue to, as I said, last 20 years obsessed with high performance. The first 10, I didn't do it the right way. It almost cost me my life. The last 10, in a spirit of marginal gains, I've been just constantly seeking to improve how I approach work. Hmm. How do I make myself more productive? How do I produce more with less effort, not more effort? And how do I do all of this while also sleeping 8 to 9 hours a night? And how do I do all of this without compromising my health in terms of, you know, working out, fitting in some meditation, and, you know, being a great, you know, role model for my kids and a great husband for my wife? You know, I say to people, if you want to be a great leader, start by being a great spouse and parent.
Right.
So
let me ask you,
that gets us to where we are today.
Let me thank you. First of all, thanks for sharing your story, and thank you for being so open and vulnerable about it, which says a lot about the service that you provide that we'll talk about in more detail. But to start and be that open about it, that's what our listeners need to hear. That's what I need to hear. Give me some practical tips. You say be present at home. I couldn't agree with you more. If you don't have that balance at home and you can't be present, then that's just going to, as you said, as you shared the consequences for that, start at home being a leader. But give me some tips. It sounds good. It sounds great. It's what we all want. Everyone listening goes, yeah. But then we say, how the heck do I be present? Because it mounts up. And so I'm there, I come home, and then I'm happy to see my family, but then it creeps in and you start going,
you
have to check it. So what do you do?
Well, first of all, to optimize anything, to improve anything, the first simplest thing to do is to stop doing the shit that's blowing you up.
Right.
So again, the athlete not getting his 5 hours, not getting his 8 hours of sleep, eating well, continuing to do his athletics, i.e. his work at home, you know, all of that just kind of really blows you up. But it starts with recognizing, thanks to Abraham Maslow, you know, the hierarchy of needs, that our number one need is, it's all about self-actualization. You know, that's happiness, you know, reaching our fullest potential. So then the game that we play, this whole game of life is essentially comes down to closing the gap between who we are and who we want to be. And so excelling at that game of life is getting really, really good at recognizing when there's a gap and getting quicker and better and faster at kind of closing it, because all the suffering lives in the gap. So to your question about, well, what do? How do you be more present with the family? So first of all, it starts with, well, identity. Decide who you want to be. So as an example, my identity when it comes to my family is I'm not Eric Partaker. That's not me. I have a dream team that I've hired. They work in different areas of my life. We're talking about family right now. And the person who kind of runs the department of family, he's the world's best husband and father. He works in service of me. So he's kind of like who I change into, or my employee, whatever you want to call it. And I have a simple little thing. At 6:30 p.m. each day, a reminder goes off on my phone. And that reminder says world's best husband and father, simply because it prompts the question, how would the world's best husband and father walk through that door right now? And that might sound like a very simple, not very meaningful tactic, but I'll tell you what, it's mind-blowing, because as you walk through that door with that question in mind, it changes the way you show up. So that's first and foremost. Start with identity. Secondly, let's eliminate the stuff that gets in the way. So what's the number one thing that gets in the way of you being present? Well, let me ask you, what would you say within your possessions, your belongings, what's the number one thing that you think would get in the way of you being fully 100% present at home?
Technology.
You got it. So all of that dopamine, and in what form? Let's get down to, you know,
I don't want to say it. I don't want to say it. Yeah, my cell phone, my iPhone.
You got it. You got it. So the other super clever, you want to see a material difference in your presence and how you interact with your family. Do this very, very simple thing. Decide who you're going to be before you step through the door. And then the moment you step through the door, your first action is to turn your phone off and throw it in a drawer somewhere where you're not going to touch it for the rest of the night.
Yeah.
You will immediately be more present. You will be anxious at first, and you may not know what to do with yourself
Right.
because you don't have that dopamine spike in, release every 5 minutes or whatever it is. Did I get another email? Anybody responded on LinkedIn, Instagram?
Right.
So that's a couple of tactics. And then the last one I would offer up is something called digital sunset. So at the end of the night, sorry, 1 hour before your bedtime, you really should be turning off all the electronics. Because if you look, if you read this book, Why We Sleep, which is written by one of the most preeminent sleep researchers in the world, Matthew Walker, he points out, it's all evidence-based. Nothing
Right.
I'm telling you here is not, identity-driven change outperforms outcome-driven change. That's evidence-based. Putting your phone away out of sight will increase your presence. This has been tested, evidence-based.
Right.
And digital sunset, so turning off all of your electronics 1 hour before you go to bed, means that your melatonin production will be twice as much. And
Wow.
melatonin is what creates our deepest levels of sleep. And the deeper we sleep, the more restored we are, the more our ability to focus, the more our ability to not be so easily thrown off track the following day. So it's all tied together.
Great advice. I mean, very specific when I asked you, how do we be more present at home? 6:30 p.m. each day, world's best husband and father, or
Yep,
mother
husband
and
and father.
spouse. Two, turn off your iPhone. Three, digital sunsets. Great advice. I appreciate you sharing that, and all evidence-based. You talked about, let's go back and talk about what you're doing again. You have these amazing businesses which people can look up. We don't have to go into them all right now, but we'll put some links to some of the, especially Chilango, that you've created. It's just an amazing company. Tell me more. Let's go back. We've got a few minutes left. I want to talk about, you talk about closing the gap between who you are and who you're capable of being, which is huge. But then let's talk about your experience and what you're doing at a really high level right now, and learning from someone that's actually done it, because it's easy to fall into old habits, or we don't know what we don't know, and we need somebody that can guide us, that really understands and can help us get there more quickly and avoid some of the pitfalls.
You got it. So my kind of service, if you will, to the world is to help shorten people's learning curve on all of this, to compress, 20 years, 10 of which, nearly led to my death, into something that is a lot more practical, more quick, to implement, less painful, so that people can, reach their fullest potential. And I look at things very, very holistically. So, through my site, ericpartaker.com, aside from, being a CEO, I'm also a coach, and I look to coach entrepreneurs, leaders, and other coaches. So people who themselves are trying to impact a lot of others, they often work in very structureless environments. They don't have anybody to talk to. They're expected to be superstars. But they have all these challenges, all these things that get in the way and compromise, their ability to work at a high level, be fully present at home, and maintain their health. And so I work with people individually. I work with people on a group basis, taking them through evidence-based curriculum to help them basically show up as the best possible version of themselves on the work, health, and home fronts. And that I do ad hoc as people, need it and as a request comes in. And then the other exciting thing that I'm launching actually for the first time in July is a A to Z live coaching and mentorship program, which will be on the site, which will take every people through everything from identity driven change and how to maximize their energy, their productivity, you know, how to win the day, their anti-fragility, all of this stuff done in a kind of interactive way. And yeah, I just want to help people, you know, be happier, essentially.
Eric, I appreciate you again coming in and sharing your story, talking about, you know, starting by sharing a heart attack, which is a tough lesson to learn. You know, look, I think most of us, most entrepreneurs listening are those that are, you know, we like, I mean, myself included, I like to not necessarily work hard, but it doesn't even feel like work sometimes because I like building things and I like creating things, and I would rather hide there sometimes. And, you know, it's where you get the accolades. It's where you get the credit sometimes. And it's also where you face your biggest challenges. But, you know, this hustle and grind mentality, as you mentioned, and that being the only thing, I always tell people it works until it doesn't. And the time when it doesn't is when you see your marriage failing, or your kids don't know you like you want, or you have a health scare. And I've had a similar health scare, and that's when it's not okay. And so the young guys, I say it's okay till it's not. And because I did it, and you can pull yourself by the bootstraps and sleep low, but then look what happens, and you will inevitably pay the price somewhere if you only focus on that part of your life.
And you're so right, because when that price comes knocking on the door, invariably people didn't expect the knock.
Yeah.
Invariably. And when it happens, as you said, it's too late because the knock already started.
Yeah.
And God forbid, when you open the door, you're letting the Grim Reaper in, you know? So, you know, metaphorically speaking as well, with regards to your marriage or, you know, whatever else. And I'll tell you something else, the restorative power of putting all this into play. So my doctor has said that there is absolutely no evidence whatsoever of there having been any trauma to my heart ever. So there you go.
Amazing. Eric, thanks for being our guest today. EricPartaker.com. When this goes live, this is A to Z Live Coaching and Mentorship Program will be there. Go visit that site. I often preach about the value of a coach, and especially someone that's been through it. And Eric, I like to learn from people that have had the highs and lows, like many of us. They've been there, they understand it. You've got this evidence-based curriculum, and that's really important to me to see that, because we know that you know what you're talking about, and you've lived it. You have seen both sides. So again, any final thoughts you want to share with our audience before we go?
I would just sincerely, you know, hope that if anybody listening can relate to anything that has just been said, and wants to close the gap on either their work, health, or family fronts, please reach out, because I can definitely help you.
And again, thank you again, CEO of the Year, built amazing companies and is offering that advice. That is an amazing opportunity. EricPartaker.com. Eric, thanks again for being our guest, and I look forward to watching the next great things that you're doing.
Thank you so much, Derek. Really appreciate the opportunity.
Take care.
You've been listening to the Business Leadership Series, where we engage with leaders who are making an impact on their worlds and who want to share their knowledge and experience for your personal and professional growth. This interview was designed to inspire you to become the best leader you can be.